Hi guys, it's your internet friend Greg Tepper. This show was a technical disaster, most notably because our phone line didn't work to get Haltom coach Jason Tucker on the line, which really stinks because I really want to talk with him. We're going to reschedule him, but in the meantime, I'm going to skip past all the technical nonsense here in the podcast so you don't have to listen to me flounder while our technology fails. Please bear with us. I promise we think we know what we're doing. I love you very much. Here's the show.
The Texas Football Today podcast is brought to you by Chocolate Milk, built by nature. Catch Texas Football Today live weekdays at noon on texasfootball.com and get involved with the show using hashtag TFToday. And now, on with the show. Yes, yes, y'all!
From the Dave Campbell's Texas Football Wind Tunnel in beautiful Lewisville, Texas, it is Texas Football Today, a show that is battling the elements despite being inside. My name is Greg Tepper. I am the managing editor of Dave Campbell's Texas Football, a magazine, texasfootball.com, a corresponding website. Thank you for spending part of your day with us. Whether you're watching us live at texasfootball.com or on Facebook, or you're listening to us on the podcast, which you can subscribe to on the podcast vendor of your choice. Either way, thank you for doing your part to support your local mediocre internet show. I'm sitting here, sitting over there, celebrating his 48th birthday today, making us sound good. And boy, he knows how to sound good. Mm. Happy birthday to Genuine.
Ooh. Oh, that's a good one. Bow,
bow, bow, bow.
I'm not participating in this.
Well, not with that attitude. And sitting to my right, the Tennessee offensive line to my Marcus Mariota, our West African prince.
Oh, why you gotta, do him like that? Why you gotta do him like that?
Because I usually have a really like flattering, nice one for him. I gotta keep him on his toes.
You could have said Marcus Mariota and the turf.
Yeah,
the turf to
my Marcus Mariota. That was ooh.
11 sacks.
Today is Monday, October 15th, 2018. 38 days till Thanksgiving. Episode 642. Ryan Glenn's ERA in his illustrious Texas Rangers career. Those 41 games, including 35 starts from 1999 to 2001. On today's show, guys, we're going an hour. We're doing it live. F it. We'll do it live. We're going to have Monday morning fallout. We'll overreact to the football weekend. Then, the coach of... How do I want to phrase this?
Correctly?
Is it the hottest team in the state? Maybe the most... Because there are other teams that are undefeated, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. But this is maybe the most unexpected team to be undefeated at this point in the season. We'll talk with the head coach of the Haltom Buffaloes. Coach Jason Tucker will join us at 12:15. Excited to talk to him about their massive win over Euless Trinity. Program-shaping win. We'll talk to him. Then we're going to reveal the Mr. Texas Football Player of the Week nominees and the Army Value Schools of the Week. And then back half of the show, we will roll out the College Football Power Poll, ranking the 12 FBS teams in the Lone Star State. So stay tuned for all of that. I like to keep everybody apprised of just what's going on in my world.
Sure.
I don't know. I feel like we're a family here, and I feel like I need to be honest. I had a minor medical procedure this weekend. I'm okay. Mm-hmm. But you know, it was something that was scary.
Here comes the punchline.
It was frightening, but I did have an influenza vaccination, and it was I appreciate the thoughts and the prayers. I'm still in recovery mode.
What are we even doing here?
It's just, you know, the pain sometimes you have to go through in the name of health. It's tough, but I just, I don't know. I appreciate all you guys being there and thinking about me during this trying time. So.
Are you done?
Thank you guys.
Are you done?
I appreciate it. It just means a lot. It just means a lot to me. You know, it's just
still going, huh?
It was something
still
I knew I had to get done.
Still going.
And I'm
still going.
Damn you, Max.
Yeah, still talking. Still going.
Have you had a flu shot, Max? Have you had a flu shot, Max?
No, I've not had a flu shot, Greg.
Okay. Are you going?
No, I'm not going to get a flu shot, Greg.
I got one.
I'm happy for you, Greg.
Ish, beautiful shot.
Probably soon.
Probably soon. You should.
Yeah.
I should. It's you know, I don't know. But anyway, I just thank everybody for their thoughts and prayers during this trying time.
Shout out to Mizia Romero bringing up the appropriate quote for this moment. Michael Scott telling the coworkers about Meredith getting hit by the car.
Yeah.
The doctors did everything they could. They did their best. And she's going to be okay.
Yeah. I will be okay, but still recovering. Saturday morning is tough.
Oh, God.
We are Texas Football Today. We're here every weekday at noon on TexasFootball.com, talking football in the Lone Star State. You can follow us on Twitter at DCTF. Like us on Facebook, Facebook.com/Dave Campbell's. Follow us on Instagram, Instagram.com/Dave Campbell's. And, of course, see us at TexasFootball.com. Max, send out the presidential alert and hit the air raid siren. It's time for Monday Morning Fallout. Monday Morning Fallout, of course, when we overreact to the football weekend. A lot to overreact to this weekend. Let's start with my three big thoughts. Thought number one, recalibration. Throughout the course of the Texas high school football season, now 7 weeks old, we have been able, we've seen a lot of changes and craziness at the small school level, but relative stagnation at the top. 6A has been largely untouched by the ebbs and flows of the Texas high school football season. For the most part, it's been steady as she goes. Not a whole lot of changes in the rankings. Same thing with 5A. For the most part, you know, there have been ranked teams beating ranked teams, but there haven't really been these big shakeups. That all changed this week. I feel like we finally got a great data point on the number one team in the state, Allen. And I think that it's, is there any doubt now that they deserve to be? Again, I'm not saying that they are locked and loaded, have to be your number one team in the state. I'm not saying they're going to walk to a state championship.
Right.
I will say, though, to hang a 74 burger
on a good Plano East,
on a good Plano East defense is impressive. I have some questions about defense.
Sure.
This was a Plano East offense that did not exactly inspire confidence. And, you know, they give up their fair share of points and yards, but make no mistake, that offense is a flamethrower, and they are a bona fide elite, elite, elite team. I feel like we got a really good, we got another a big data point on Temple. They go on the road and beat Killeen, and what had a lot of letdown. And then, of course, there was the Lake Travis Westlake game. And for all the things that we thought could have come out of this game, I don't think 44-14 Westlake was one of them.
Nope.
I don't think anybody saw this coming. A Westlake win? Sure.
Oh, shootout. Right?
Can see that.
Right.
Can
you
see
expect.
That. But 44-14 is a statement type game. That's twice in a row. Well, set aside the 44 points, which is by, in and of itself impressive. Mm-hmm. The more impressive thing is 14, and that's 2 years in a row now.
Yeah.
That Westlake has held Lake Travis to 14 points. And if you want to talk about what can get them to a state championship, it's that defense. The defense looked fabulous.
Sure.
And when you look at the 6A Division II bracket, I don't know who's going to stop them before a title game.
Right. And you look at that Westlake offense. You know, they want to control the ball. Right. Mm-hmm. Taylor Anderson's not going to throw for 400 yards. Right. Yep. He's not Sam Ellinger. He's not that quarterback. What he does well, though, is he's able to participate in the running game himself. I believe he had over 100 yards rushing. And last year with Nakia Watson, he was able to, you know, 1-2 off that. This year, you know, it was like, okay, it's kind of his show now.
Yeah.
And when you don't have a quarterback that necessarily can spread the field to 5 wide or 4 wide, you know, you want to be able to control the ball. And that's what he was able to do. You want to be able to slow the game down and hope and bet on your defense a little bit. And they've done that 2 years in a row, and it's worked.
Absolutely correct. But make no mistake, Taylor Anderson was fabulous in this game.
Sure.
Taylor Anderson
absolutely.
Was great.
Absolutely.
He was really, really good. But Westlake made a statement on Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the other wrong cut statement. Cy Fair dropped their second in a row. Now, Jersey Village is a good team.
Yeah.
That's a good team that we're not paying attention to. But we had a lot of recalibration in 6A that I think is very, very interesting. That's thought number one. Thought number two, stratification. I think we are now at the point in the college football season where you can look at the 12 FBS teams in Texas and you can break them up into three, but probably more accurately four
strata. Okay, there's I think three teams at the top that are probably the best in Texas in some order: North Texas, A&M, and Texas in some order. Then there is this other layer of teams that are good enough to beat anybody, but a little too inconsistent for my liking.
Sure.
Tech, Houston, TCU, right there. Then you have a step below with two teams that I think are, you know, kind of finding their way. Maybe not, probably I would just classify them as probably average in SMU and Baylor. Those would be average teams. And then you have, I think,
the bottom. The rest.
You have UTSA, you have Texas State, you have Rice, and you have UTEP. I've got a lot of thoughts. We'll get into those in the power poll. But to me, that those are right now what the strata are. And I feel like it's probably unlikely. Maybe a team like Tech or Houston can make that leap up.
Sure.
Or they may fall down to the average part.
Right.
But I feel like we're pretty well set in stone as to what these teams are. That's thought number two, stratification. And thought number three, stagnation. I don't think that I have ever been less surprised by seeing a graphic of the 2A top 10 than what we saw. Go look at our rankings at TexasFootball.com for 2A and for, in a lot of respects, for 3A. And it is not only a bunch of wins for the ranked teams. It was a very chalky week, but winning in ways that you're just like, oh, yeah, we're in district play now. Okay. If there is one, I would say Woodville's win over Buna was really impressive. But, like, besides that, I mean, it's just it's district play.
Jesus.
And as a result, when you get into the small school ranks, now that we're this deep, there are some big games down the road. We'll talk about one in a minute. But when you get down the when you get down to this point, you're going to start to see this a lot more. Now, you guys were at a game that was not like that. You guys were at Gunner and Holiday. And I know you guys enjoyed yourself, and I know you guys came away impressed with what Gunner had to offer.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, for a while there, Holiday was really, really close. I mean, Gunner pulled away kind of at the end, kind of controlled when they got their feet in the ground on defense. But Holiday hit him early. I believe I was like on the second or third play of the game for them.
Yeah.
On a good run to the right side down the – for a good long touchdown run. But man, that Gunner offense is just something. And I think one of the things me and Max were talking about, you don't really see it because his numbers aren't exactly, you know, insane.
Mm-hmm.
But when you watch Dylan Jantz in person, that dude's just a player. Mm-hmm. Like he whoever gets him, whatever school, wherever he decides to take his talents, they're going to get someone who just knows how to play football because he does everything for them. He lines up in the Wildcat. He'll be a slot back, receiver, linebacker, safety. He does everything.
He makes every big play on defense too. Mm-hmm. You know, we talk about this a lot. I think we go to these games with different things in mind, things we're trying to look for. My biggest takeaway is where Gunner is very good, but we already knew that. Great facility, something we hadn't seen before. We hadn't been up there. Really great setting for a football game. But yeah, Dylan Jantz, I mean, top 10 player in the state. You know, I think he's got to be in that argument for a Mr. Texas football finalist. I think that's going to be a case that we're going to have to go over when the time comes where, I mean, they've had great players in the past, but if you watch them today, he's doing a lot. I mean, he's a really special player. They say there, we talked to Chris Dodd, who was a wonderful host, the principal at Gunner, former football coach himself. You know, they talk about him and the radio guys talk about him. This is a once in every 30 years player for a community like that. Mm-hmm. That's how they feel about him. Mm-hmm. And it stands out. It shows. And I guess while we're speaking about Gunner, don't you have a little present down there from Principal?
They gave
Principal
me a Greg Tepper helmet.
They did give you a Greg Tepper helmet. They gave us a bunch of swag. We'll get some Gunner swag on the wall here. Thanks to Chris Dodd for doing that. Like we said, could not be happier with our experience in Gunner. They were fired up. It was a big game. And really, to go back to what Ish started with, to kind of bring this full circle, I felt like they were dominant in the first half. I mean, they threw an interception. Ethan Everson threw an interception that, you know, they were within the 20, 25 at that point.
Right.
And then they tried to score in the final seconds, tried that fake field goal,
true,
which was
true.
Awesome.
Yeah,
they tried the LSU fake field goal where the kicker does a sweep and came up a yard short and then tried one more play and just could not get in. they convert both of those, right. And that game's mm-hmm. a blowout at halftime. Mm-hmm. You know, we're talking about a 4-touchdown game, and credit to Holiday because yeah. they took that and then fought that third quarter and made it a game.
I think we saw them in 7-on-7, Gunner. We saw kind of Ethan's arm a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a little unfair. Like, when they have that triple option pistol offense, and then they have a guy who can throw, and I can't remember exactly when it was, but he threw a dime.
There were a couple.
Might have been the second yeah. or third quarter, where I was yeah. like, they have a guy who can do that now?
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. I was yeah. like, oh, that's not fair.
They don't have to use him, but they will.
Yeah. It was an impressive win for them, and in a lot of ways, it was just a very chalky week in the small school ranks, which is unlike what we've seen.
Right.
It was a rare respite
right.
in the kind of surging tides of the yeah. small school ranks. That's my three big thoughts. Three helmet stickers, a helmet sticker to Port Neches Groves quarterback Rashawn Johnson. He continues to personally victimize Crosby. 14 of 24, 163 yards and 2 touchdowns, added 147 yards and 3 scores on the ground in a big win over Crosby. Texas A&M tight end Jace Sternberger. This guy was the man for A&M in their win over South Carolina. I believe it was 7 catches for 145 yards and a score. He was their number one target in a day when the offense was up and down. But he was the consistent threat for them. He gets a helmet sticker. And a helmet sticker for Dangerfield quarterback Jakari Woods. He ran 9 times for 193 yards and 3 scores. He also threw 17 times, completed 13 of them for 277 yards and 3 scores, 2 rushing 2-point conversions, and a passing 2-point conversion. That is quite a day. I had to go back and calculate what his yards per touch were, but that's impressive. He gets a helmet sticker as well. Three teams to watch. Watch out for Paris. Boy, howdy.
Yeah.
They bodied Salina by 40.
Yeah.
This week, Argyle. And they keep rolling like this. You better watch out, Argyle, because Paris coming. They look good in this one. Tarleton State, the unbeaten Texans, now at the front runners in the Lone Star Conference.
Yeah, man.
Gotta be. They beat yeah. A&M Commerce.
Gotta beat Midwestern State. Won't be easy, but they're in the driver's
Texans
seat.
Texans looking great. And San Antonio Wagner beat up on San Antonio Highlands in a way that is not very nice of them, but... a team to keep an eye on when you start to look at the way brackets are going to break down. 5A Division One, Region 4 is going to be pretty wide open, and Wagner looks like a team that can take advantage of that. And 3C, I'm going to stop doing teams to worry about because
it's mean.
Childress and Canadian, that's the game. Every other game's nice. This is the game. Get if you have the means to get to Canadian. Get to Canadian for this one. North Texas and UAB is suddenly a super fascinating matchup.
Ooh.
And UAB looked really good against Rice, although that wasn't very hard. But North Texas, big win over Southern Miss, big game in Conference USA. And Cy Falls and Jersey Village. Suddenly, the District 17-6A title is back on the line. And Jersey Village and Cy Falls fighting for it. Massive game to see down in the Houston area. Those are my three to see, and that is Monday Morning Fallout. We are Texas Football Today. We're here every weekday at noon on TexasFootball.com, talking football in the Lone Star State. You can follow us on Twitter at DCTF, like us on Facebook, Facebook.com/Dave Campbell's. Follow us on Instagram, Instagram.com/Dave Campbell's, and of course see us at TexasFootball.com. TexasFootball.com is where you can find complete coverage of high school football, college football, and recruiting all across the Lone Star State. I want to invite you to check out TexasFootball.com to become a Dave Campbell's Texas Football Insider. That's our subscription package. You get 2 magazines, 2018 recruiting edition of Dave Campbell's Texas Football. Profile more than 400 prospects around the Lone Star State. You get the 2019 summer edition of Dave Campbell's Texas Football, the Bible of Texas Football, the one you want, the one that we're known for, the famous one. Previewing everything in the state, you get that pre-ordered and sent directly to you. Don't run around to Walmart, HEB, Brookshire's. Instead, we'll mail it to you. Subscribers last year got it a week early. You also get a year's worth of exclusive online content at TexasFootball.com, including computer rankings of every Texas high school football team, computer projections of every Texas high school football game, a season's worth of Tep and Step, our premium high school football insider podcast with Matt Stepp and I nerding out about high school football, recruiting analysis from our friends at Next Level Athlete, all that good stuff. I'm hitting my microphone. I'm so excited. All that good stuff. Everything I just listed for the low, low price of $19.95 for the entire year. That's $19.95 for an entire year. $19.95. It's $20 for a year. It's all you get. All those things for $20 makes a great gift as well. TexasFootball.com is where you can become a Dave Campbell's Texas Football Insider. It is the subscription package that's sweeping the nation. He said confidently. Dave Campbell's Texas Football, along with Wells Fargo, and in conjunction with the Academy Sports and Outdoors Texas Bowl, is proud to present the Mr. Texas Football Player of the Week Award to the most deserving high schooler in the state. Every Monday at noon, TexasFootball.com will announce 10 candidates for that week's award based on the previous week's on-field performance. Voting closes each Friday at noon, with the winner being announced shortly thereafter. The Week 7 Mr. Texas Football Player of the Week Award nominees: El Paso Parkland running back Deion Hankins.
I see you just saw what you did there.
Yep.
It's all right.
El Paso Parkland running back Deion Hankins, 284 yards and 5 touchdowns on the ground, and a 64-yard touchdown reception for the all-time leading rusher in El Paso high school football history. Melissa quarterback Brendan Lewis threw for 271 yards and 4 scores, actually, and added 144 yards and a touchdown on the ground. Denton Geyer wide receiver Seth Metter caught 10 passes for 219 yards and 2 scores and ran for 2 touchdowns for the Wildcats. West Sabine quarterback Dalen Smith, let's see, he ran for 452 yards and 7 touchdowns. He added just 47 yards passing, although it hardly mattered.
Right.
And then he added 8 tackles and 4 pass breakups on defense as well. Mission Veterans Memorial quarterback Landry Gilpin, another big game for him, 265 yards and 6 touchdowns on the ground, and added 259 yards and 2 touchdowns through the air. Harden running back Darius White ran for 410 yards and 4 touchdowns. That's all.
Hey, can I, before we move on from Darius White, can I do something?
Sure.
This is twice now that the good folks of Harden have en masse nominated him on Facebook like crazy, like so many nominations on Facebook. They did this a few weeks ago, and he was nominated. And you know what happened when it came time to turn out the vote?
Nobody
Nothing.
Voted.
Nothing. Harden, get it together. Let's go.
He's up for Mr. Texas Football. So is Newton defensive lineman Christian Paulette. 5 tackles, 3 forced fumbles, and he recovered 2 of those fumbles and returned them both for touchdowns. Whew.
Big man touchdowns.
San Antonio Madison quarterback Dante Hagans threw for 136 yards and a touchdown through the air, and also ran for 243 yards and 4 touchdowns for Madison in their big win over Reagan. Fort Bend Willow Ridge defensive lineman Floyd Vitito had 18 tackles, 2 tackles for loss, a sack, a pass breakup, a forced fumble, and he blocked a kick.
He did it all.
And Waco University defensive lineman Andrew Apodaca.
Great name.
11 tackles, 4 sacks, and 5 tackles for loss. So those are your Week 7 Mr. Texas Football Player of the Week nominees: El Paso Parkland running back Deion Hankins, Melissa quarterback Brendan Lewis, Denton Geyer wide receiver Seth Metter, West Sabine quarterback Dalen Smith, Mission Veterans Memorial quarterback Landry Gilpin, Harden running back Darius White, Newton defensive lineman Christian Paulette, San Antonio Madison quarterback Dante Hagans, Fort Bend Willow Ridge defensive lineman Floyd Vitito, and Waco University defensive lineman Andrew Apodaca. Vote early, vote now at TexasFootball.com. You want to go get your replacement?
Oh,
since
yeah.
Since we're running early.
Yeah, I do that.
Timing throwing everyone off.
Dave Campbell's Texas Football, in partnership with the U.S. Army, is proud to honor one school from each public school classification with the Army Values School of the Week Award. The schools selected throughout the course of the program have best exemplified the 7 Army values: loyalty, duty, respect, selfless service, honor, integrity, and personal courage. The Week 7 Army Values Schools of the Week. In 6A, Amarillo Tascosa, after making a 4-hour drive to open district play, the Rebels got off the bus ready, jumping out to a first quarter lead and never looking back for a 36-20 win over Midland. In 5A, Lufkin, in a matchup of state-ranked district foes, the Panthers roared to a 35-3 victory over College Station, snapping the 5A Division II state champions' 18-game winning streak and handing them just their 3rd ever loss in district play. In 4A, Houston Wheatley, trailing 27-12 at halftime, the Wildcats roar to life in the second half, riding a huge game from receiver Earl Williams and a resurgent defense to rally for a 34-27 victory. In 3A, Spearman, the Lynx continued their torrid defensive tear, pitching their 4th shutout in 6 games in a 40-0 win over Dimmitt in their district opener. In 2A, Union Grove, entering the 4th quarter trailing 14-8, the Lions battled back to tie the game and force overtime, using a workmanlike game from running back Mikey Webb to earn a hard-fought 22-14 win over district rival Hawkins. And in 1A, Savoy, trailing in the final seconds to St. Joe, the Cardinals scored on an unforgettable hook and lateral play to win its district opener 40-35. So those are your Week 7 Army Value Schools of the Week. In 6A, Amarillo Tascosa. In 5A, Lufkin. In 4A, Houston Wheatley. In 3A, Spearman. In 2A, Union Grove. And in 1A, Savoy. Congratulations to all the schools. We salute you. For more information, visit texasfootball.com/schooloftheweek.
Greg, you're never going to believe this.
Mm-hmm.
Shea Harris does not appreciate you giving an award to Tascosa.
Hmm. They won. We're Texas Football Today. We're here every weekday at noon on texasfootball.com. Talking football on the Lone Star State. You can follow us on Twitter at DCTF. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/Dave Campbell's. Follow us on Instagram, instagram.com/Dave Campbell's. And, of course, see us at texasfootball.com. There's no funnier little storyline than San Angelo Central fans like their irrational hatred of Amarillo Tascosa.
It's pretty great.
It's just like this.
I am 100%
very
here for it. It's
very
great.
Like, it's a running thread.
Yeah, I think so. Hey, Sean, you want to scoot a little to your left? We've already blown this show up. I might as well just produce on the fly, too, out loud.
Show's already a mess. Episode 6.
Now you're good.
Episode 642 will not go into the greatest hits album.
No, it will not.
It won't. But here to save the show.
I'll do it.
Doing our college football power poll. It's our college football insider from Dave Campbell's Texas Football. It is Shehan Jayaraja.
The hero we need but don't deserve.
Exactly. I'm doing great.
How was Denton on Saturday?
So it was my first trip up there, obviously for Southern Miss, and the game was very good. The weather was not.
The weather was decidedly not.
It was a great experience. I mean, Jordan Stepp and all the guys up there do a fantastic job of accommodating us, and Mason Fine is every bit as good as you think he is, although we didn't get to see as much in the second half as we wanted.
Mm-hmm.
But... yeah, I mean, the stadium's beautiful. Denton's a great town. I just wish there were people there.
Yeah, that would have been nice.
Yeah.
It would have been nice, but I know that it got delayed a half hour. Is that right?
Yeah, only a half hour. Yeah. So, I mean, but it was actually pouring when I was driving up. Like, it was the sort of pouring where I couldn't – it was just white everywhere. And I was like, do I really want to go to this game? And the answer was yes. Yes, I did.
You did. You did. All right, let's get to your college football power poll, ranking the 12 FBS teams in the Lone Star State. A familiar face at the bottom of the power poll – the UTEP Miners. So, here's the good news.
Yeah.
Did they lose?
They did not lose.
Aha.
What? They were on bye.
How about that?
Yeah.
Congratulations to the UTEP Miners. They did not lose. But, I mean, look, this week I believe they get... Who is it? They get... Southern Miss. They go to Southern Miss.
Yeah.
So
that'll go well.
I
knew it was someone not great.
Narrator, it did not go well.
Yeah.
So that's number 12, UTEP. Number 11.
Yeah, it's Rice.
So I wrote about this game on texasfootball.com, and I declared this rock bottom for the program.
Yeah.
They got murder killed.
Yeah.
By UAB.
Yeah.
In every possible phase of the game.
And on their home field.
On their home turf, in front of nobody.
Right.
In a game against a team that is less than 18 months removed from reviving their program from a hiatus. Now, UAB's pretty good.
UAB is probably the co-favorite to win the division.
Like, Bill Clark, is that the head coach's name?
Is he still there?
That sound right?
Sounds right.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm going to say that confidently.
There you go.
Bill Clark, like, UAB's a...
You are correct.
How about that? UAB's a good team.
Yes.
UAB's a good team. But there is no excuse for Rice to look as bad as they did. And
yeah,
they looked god-awful in their 42-0 loss.
Yeah, and we've talked about earlier in the season, you know, Rice has some potential. They've showed some flash. They've been able to score on pretty much everybody, you know, that they've played. Not a ton of points, but, you know, a good 20 to 25 points against pretty much everybody. To score 0 points, and they lose their starting quarterback, granted. They lose their starting running back for a stretch. It's just everything fell apart. And, again, it's year one of a rebuild. It's not like there's any reason to worry.
It was always going to – there was going to be a moment like this.
Right,
and it came on Saturday.
Right, and – that doesn't make you feel any better.
No.
And unfortunately, it pushes you down to number 11.
Yeah.
But, again, a lot of things happened. A lot of things went wrong. And, like you wrote, now it's time for Mike Bloomgren to build from there.
Hey, guys, just think about this. Rice and UTEP will play this year.
God, that's right. That hasn't happened yet.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Nope.
What, are we going to do a big thing for that? We should do a big thing for that.
We should do a tailgate.
We should do something.
Number 10 on the power poll, Shahan, is?
UTSA.
Boy, they moved up a spot by no like doing of their own.
No.
This game was pretty much over before it started.
Yeah.
I never, like, it was 7-0 at the end of the first quarter, and it felt like 100-0.
Well, and let's put it this way, okay?
So, they lost to Louisiana Tech 31-3, yeah, by the way.
So Louisiana Tech, they lose to Louisiana Tech 31-3. A week earlier, Louisiana Tech had went and lost to UAB 28-7.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, this is a decent Louisiana Tech team.
That's fine.
You know, I know that they beat North Texas, but stuff happened to make that happen, right? To lose 31-3, and with Rice, we talked about it's year one, it's early on, they're going to look at this and look back and laugh at this.
Mm-hmm.
This is year three. This is year three under Frank Wilson, and I'm not saying that they shouldn't have lost. Like, fine, they lose. They're a worse team than Louisiana Tech right now. That's fine. It's totally fine to be that.
Mm-hmm.
What it's not fine to be is 31-3 worse.
Yeah.
That's unacceptable.
And I do wonder... I know I've seen some stuff, and this is just chatter on Twitter.
Yeah,
but I do wonder where the fan base is on Frank Wilson. I wonder if they're starting to lose, if he's starting to lose the support of the fan base.
Yeah,
that was the one thing that even in the trying times, like last year, they were like, "No, we got a guy we're building."
Right.
Well, now they don't look good.
Right.
And especially don't look good offensively.
Well, and the one thing that maybe you say is that they can't get quarterback play worse than what they have right now.
Sure.
And, you know, so if they bring in a JUCO, if they bring in a grad transfer, if they bring in, you know, even develop guys within the program, maybe this just looks different next year with a little bit more competent quarterback play.
Maybe it does. You got to hope so.
Yeah, but if not, again, then I don't know where they go because, like here's the issue with not having good quarterback play, right? So I've talked a lot about Jalen Rhodes and BJ Daniels, mm-hmm. how they're pretty good, right? I mean, not phenomenal, but a pretty good pairing. They combined for 10 carries for 19 yards.
Mm-mm.
When you don't have to defend the pass, everything falls apart.
Yep. You're absolutely right. So that is number 10 on the power poll. Number 9 is...
Texas State.
Am I crazy? Is this their best game of the year? Was this a better... obviously, they didn't win. They lose to Georgia Southern 15-13 on Thursday night. Obviously, a win is better than a loss.
Yes.
Boy, I feel a lot better about this team now than I did after that win.
So, the one thing that I'll say about them is that it all happened after going down 15-0.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one thing. It was like a real kind of third and fourth quarter run. If they had been able to kind of sustain, you know, oh, it's 9-6 and now it's 15, well, you know, if it's one of those sorts of things, I feel a little bit better maybe. But at the same time, I mean, it's amazing what giving the ball to your best player does.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't know, if for people who didn't watch the game, the main touchdown was scored on an end around to the tight end.
Mm-hmm.
Keenan Brown, their best player, by far. And he goes 61 yards up the field and then later punches it in for a 3-yard touchdown run.
Yeah.
This is your tight end.
Yeah, their tight end. I mean, they've pretty clearly said, all right, you're the guy. Like,
right.
We're going to do that. This was an ugly game.
Yeah.
It was an ugly game, but for once, like, the Texas State defense bowed up, and it was like, oh! Yeah.
No, Georgia Southern's good offensively.
They are, and they held them to something like 210 yards of offense.
Yeah.
Really impressive stuff from the defense.
Yeah.
I'm actually encouraged.
Definitely.
Now, I want to see them, but they got to be able to put it together a whole game.
Right,
like,
right.
Until they can do that, it just kind of seems
and this just proves, you know, they have the talent to do it.
Mm-hmm.
They can do this against good teams. And Georgia Southern's not, like, going to win the conference or anything like that, but they're going to compete with everybody.
Yeah, they absolutely
And
will.
If they can compete with Georgia Southern, there's no reason that they shouldn't compete with everybody else, too.
They are. Texas State moves up to number 9 in the power poll. Number 8 in the power poll is...
Still SMU.
Still SMU.
They had a bye.
And they did not lose.
They did not lose.
Good job, SMU. It's sad when, like, we have to, like, start qualifying teams as did they or did they not lose.
Well, you are in the bottom half.
We're moving up.
Number 8 in the power poll.
Seven,
thank you, in the power poll is...
The Baylor Bears. You know, and actually... After submitting this, I kind of went back and forth about putting them at 7 or 6. But, you know, I'm keeping them at 7
I'm glad you kept up at 7.
Yeah, I'll say that. Right now, I think they're 7. But they looked pretty dang good against Texas. You know, it's a 23-17 game. And now, granted, they lose their starting quarterback. Texas loses their starting quarterback. But Baylor has three shots at the end zone from the 12-yard line to try and win it.
I mean, they're throwing into the end zone at times against what's a top 10 team.
Yeah.
Okay, a top 10 team. But, like, you know, a ranked team, for sure.
Yeah.
They're throwing into the end zone to win the game.
Right.
That's impressive. I felt like this was a variety. Like, they had a shot to win this game, and that this is what programs that are at this point in their build
do, that
they don't finish. And that this felt like they had about two or three opportunities to really finish this game, and they couldn't.
Yeah, and you know what? I think that's just part of program development.
I think that's right.
You know, year one, you play and you try to do the best you can. Year two, you get close. And year three, you win these games.
Yeah.
You know, that's what you're supposed to do. And again, I don't think that anybody really thought that Baylor had a shot to win that game. You know, it's there's really three teams in the conference that are, to me, I mean, we'll talk about Iowa State in a minute, but
but
who are maybe a head above everybody else, regardless of what happened over the weekend. You know, I think Oklahoma, Texas, and West Virginia are still probably a head above everybody else.
Probably true.
And look, you kept it close against one of those teams.
Yeah,
and
I think that's
on the road.
My concern for them is they got to start running the ball.
Yeah,
they got to because
again,
I like Charlie Brewer, but. You can't ask him to go out there and win the game for you single-handedly.
For sure. But, you know, against other teams, they've had a little bit more success running the ball, for sure.
But they are at number seven in the power poll. Number six is...
TCU.
The hell do we make of these guys? I mean, it's the kind of thing that, like, in the offseason, we were sitting here talking about what TCU was going to look like and what we thought they could be. And we thought, okay, this looks like it could be a really elite defense. And... they are. They're at least very good. I don't know if they're elite, but
they're very good. But they're good.
We knew they had weapons like Jalen Reagor, like Kevontae Turpin. We knew they had weapons. Like two running backs with Darius Anderson, Shewa Olanolua. And a lot of it comes down to Sean Robinson.
A lot.
And the bottom line of it is, and I know he was nicked up, and I know he's banged up and all that fun stuff. But the bottom line of it is that right now, he can't take care of the football.
At all.
At all.
So the stat is, so TCU has the second most turnovers of any Power 5 team right now.
Jeez.
Do you know who the worst is?
No.
It's Rutgers. TCU has 15 turnovers this year, and 12 of them are Sean Robinson's alone.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you say it's a lot on Sean Robinson, that's true, but it's not these other guys making mistakes. It's Sean Robinson.
I mean, you hold Texas Tech at home to 17 points, and you can't win that game.
And you lose the ball game. Texas Tech was 0-7 when scoring less than 20 points heading in. And on top of that, they were 4-15 when scoring less than 30 points heading in.
Golly. It's, that's kind of...
Yeah.
I don't know. This was, I know that we're going to get to Tech in a moment, and I know that pretty much all three of their losses you can look at and say, oh, okay, that's not bad. But it's just the style in which they're playing right now that's just really discouraging for TCU right now.
I think that the last play of the game really says it all. You know, the play where Sean Robinson's trying to, you know, roll out, tries to run for a first down, reverses field, and just the ball flies out. That kind of just says it all.
That really does. They're number six in the power poll. Number five in the power poll is?
Houston.
Houston, guys are 5-1, and I think they don't be fooled. By the way, don't be fooled by the score.
Yeah,
42-20.
It was 42-6.
East Carolina was never close in this game.
It was 42-6 before
they came out and they treated this team appropriately.
Yeah,
and it was a breakout game for Ed Oliver. He had a terrific game. I believe he's the AAC Defensive Player of the Week.
Had 5 tackles for loss.
He was excellent. D'Arc King was great. Mm-hmm. They ran the ball pretty effectively.
This was the kind of complete game that I was looking for from them, because they've won a lot of games. They've won 5 games, but they haven't necessarily looked like, okay, we're going to take this team and we're going to throw them away.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the game against a conference opponent and on the road, too.
Mm-hmm.
This is what you have to do. And they looked like a team that, you know, I'm not going to say that can win the AAC, but, you know, they can win the AAC.
Yeah.
And they did to a bad team what championship contenders do.
They looked like a complete team.
Yes.
And that's probably... It's probably the first time they've done that, at least against an FBS opponent.
Yeah, for sure.
But they've looked
like
a complete team.
Definitely.
And that's very encouraging. I think the arrow's whereas number six TCU, the arrow's pointing down.
Yeah.
Like, I think number five Houston, the arrow's pointing up.
Definitely.
Number four, the power pole.
Texas Tech.
Defensive powerhouse Texas Tech, number four in the power poll.
Yeah. I was joking on Thursday night. I was talking to my friend, a TCU grad. Texas Tech versus TCU looked like two teams who were playing without their best offensive player. The issue was only one of them was.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, give Tech a lot of credit.
Yeah.
That I think that a team with that lost their starting quarterback who had been so good for them, it would have been easier for them to roll over and die.
Definitely.
And they came out. I thought Jet Duffy was fine. He will be replaced whenever Bowman's back, but he was fine. And they all Tech called a game in a way, like the coaching staff called a game in a way that they figured out what kind of game they can win in this situation.
Yeah.
And they went out and they executed it.
Yeah.
It wasn't pretty.
No.
It's not going on the highlight reel.
No.
But I said on Twitter, I think it's the biggest win in the Cliff Kingsbury era. I think that there's a real argument for that.
Yeah, well, I think the biggest thing that you take away from this is just that Texas Tech is a team that has never, ever won games in different ways.
No.
They always win with offense. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you want to talk about that defense only allowing 14 points. I think you also have to give a lot of credit to their punter, Dominic Panazzolo.
Sounds right.
Yeah. Apologies if you're listening, Dominic, but he had a fantastic game. He downed two punts within the 5-yard line. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the kind of game it was. It was, we're going to win the field position battle, which Texas Tech is actually a surprisingly good special teams unit, and we're going to win on defense, and our offense is going to do literally just enough to
just
win.
Enough, and they did it. And it's a very, I think it's the most. Somebody said that it was the most refreshing win of the Tech that Tech's had
this
in a long time.
This is not a game that they could have won in previous years.
And by the way, look, they're 4-2.
Yeah,
the next two games are Kansas and Iowa State. Now Iowa State's an interesting squad.
Our Cyclone Overlords, yes.
But I will say that right now, I mean, you've still got Kansas State on the schedule. Mm-hmm. You still got Baylor on the schedule.
Yeah.
I mean, I think 8 wins are right there.
Yeah,
for Tech.
And look, I mean, I don't think that even Oklahoma and Texas, they get both of those at home.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that either of those teams are just like astonishingly better.
No,
you know, they're better. They
no.
should both
they,
of those teams.
They
should
won't.
Win.
They won't be overmatched in any game that they'll play for the rest of the And that's I think a very good thing. So,
yes.
They are number 4 on the power poll. Number 3 on the power poll is
Texas A&M.
Okay.
Yeah,
interesting.
I don't know how I feel about them.
This was, I don't know. Do you know what it looks like? It looks like a Corvette that doesn't have that is abiding by the speed limit.
Yeah,
in the sense that I think that there are a lot of really good tools here and a lot of really good pieces, and you can see that thing and you go, oh man, I bet that thing is fun. But then they just kind of they go and kind of fits and spurts, and they're just they do enough and they get you where you need to go, but it's just like you feel like, boy, like, for example, I felt like I at no point felt like they were the worst, they were not the best team against South Carolina.
Right.
They just kind of scuffled and found a way to win. Kudos to them on a day when things weren't necessarily going all their, you know, the right way.
Yeah.
They found a way to win. It's just it was just an odd game.
Well, you know what that sounds like to me, right?
What's that?
Texas A&M under Kevin Sumlin.
Oh, you're a big jerk.
No, but I mean,
send your hate mail to
at Tepper on Twitter.
The good news is nobody can spell his name.
That's true. Especially I should have thought of that.
But you know, the big thing to me is just so A&M, you know, they played this great game against Clemson. They played well for a little while against Alabama. You lose, that's fine. Whatever. Mm-hmm. Alabama's the best team in America. You kind of only look okay against Arkansas, if not kind of poor.
Yeah.
You look average. You look decent against Kentucky, but really not particularly great. And I understand they're number 13 and they have a great defense. Yeah. So that's forgivable. But then you go on the road to South Carolina and you look completely beatable again.
Like I said, the car looks great.
Yeah.
Tier one.
I want to see it rev up.
Yeah.
And right now we haven't seen it just really rev up.
Right.
Now, kudos to the coaching staff that in a time when you're not revving that engine to full go, you're still winning.
Oh, yeah.
Because that wasn't necessarily the case
in Kevin Sumlin.
But I will say that I don't know. I feel like there's another gear there that they haven't hit, but you can see it. I don't know. It's interesting. Yeah. So they're number three on the power poll. Number two on the power poll, you saw them.
North Texas.
The North Texas Mean Green. That first quarter, I was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
What's
are
about
they
to happen?
Are they just broken?
First half, really.
Yeah, first, pretty much the first half. I was thinking, oh, my God, are they just broken?
Right.
Like, did Louisiana Tech break them? Because then they go and they lose, or they don't lose, but they barely beat UTEP.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, no, are they just broke? And then something clicked.
Yeah.
Because they ran away with it.
Right, right. And actually, that's a good way to put it. They ran away with it. They were able to establish a running game finally. Mason Fine didn't have to do everything out there. DeAndre Torrey finishes with 3 second-half touchdowns. And their defense puts up a great effort against a good Southern Miss offense. EJ Agia, after the game, said, you know, we want to make them one-dimensional. And they were able to do that. They were able to take away the running game from Southern Miss, make quarterback Jack Abraham have to beat them. And he wasn't able to do it. You know, he threw for a lot of yards, but also had a bunch of mistakes. And look, UNT, actually, here's the stat. UNT finished with 14 tackles for loss.
Wow.
Yeah, that'll do it.
That's really impressive.
That'll get it done. So
that's good stuff. And you know, maybe they've rounded, but they've gotten over that funk.
Yep.
Maybe they just went through a rough patch. They're 6-1.
Yeah.
They're 2-1 in the conference. They still need Louisiana Tech to cough one up here if they're going to get back in that conference race. But,
no, they did against UAB.
Right.
Well, against UAB. So it's going to...
So it's UAB. Yeah. So this is a huge game.
Yeah, next week against UAB. I think that...
They beat UAB, then they're right back in it.
Yeah.
And by the way, the rest of their games after that...
Very winnable.
Rice,
ugh.
ODU,
okay.
Florida Atlantic...
Fun
and,
one.
And UTSA.
Yeah.
You should go 4-0 down the stretch. So the UAB game suddenly looms very, very
low. Yeah. If they win against UAB... They're in a fantastic spot to win the division and really win the conference.
Yeah, and that's exciting for a team that I think we had all just kind of slumped our shoulders and
and that's one of the reasons why I went to the game was I wanted to see them show that they're more than that.
Yeah,
you know that they're more than what we saw last week against UTEP. And look, they just have to win their games now. They don't have to win pretty, but they just have to win
just
all.
Just have to win them, yeah. And finally, the number one team in the College Football Power Poll, according to Shehan J. Raja, is?
The Texas Longhorns.
Texas is back.
The bye week comes at a very good time.
Oh, yeah. They need a refocusing.
Yeah.
Now, here's, first of all, like it sounds like, so Sam Ellinger goes out with injury. It sounds like he's going to be okay. Was a shoulder sprain.
Yeah, AC joint, I think it
but
was.
But they expect him back for the next game.
And they're very lucky that they have the bye now because if they played next week, he probably wouldn't be back.
Right.
But then people – and it was actually kind of funny. I mean, I know that a lot of people watch the game. So Sam Ellinger has, like, all this blood on his hand when he is, like, during
like
the first drive.
Movie.
Right. And I'm like, oh, wow, he must have needed stitches. And then they come back and they're like, oh, yeah, it's a shoulder. And they're like, what?
Was his shoulder bleeding?
I don't know.
No, it was. I'll tell you that another thing where it's like, look, you lose your starting quarterback and you don't roll over. And Shane Buechele wasn't great, but he was good enough.
Good enough.
And that's all you needed.
And Keontae Ingram
showed
why he needs more than you know 6 carries a game.
Keontae Ingram is going to be a parabolum for people. He
it's
is
true
really good.
Oh man!
And defense came up with stops. It wasn't pretty. There was a bit of squeaky bum time, but Texas got the win, and they kept on rolling, and you're right. I think the bye week comes at a very, very good time for them. That's a college football power poll. Number 12, UTEP. Number 11, Rice. Number 10, UTSA. Number 9, Texas State. Number 8, SMU. Number 7, Baylor. Number 6, TCU. Number 5, Houston. Number 4, Texas Tech. Number 3, Texas A&M. Number 2, North Texas. And number 1, the Texas Longhorns. And now we go to Max Thompson for America's second favorite segment, Final Thoughts.
Brent Holman, Robert Wolf, two Hall of Fame commenters for Texas football today. Hall of Famers, dedicated, loyal. They're calling us Aggie haters, legitimately. They're not even being funny about it.
Aggie haters?
They.
Boy, there are some, there are some Texas fans who.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Would think that's very funny.
Mizael immediately got in the comments and goes, guys, did you not learn the lesson when they got mad at me last week for calling him? He said we were Texas haters. And there's this jackass on YouTube who's obsessed with saying we hate Texas.
I know. It's
He's
crazy.
Obsessed.
It's amazing.
He's a lunatic.
By the way, I picked
don't care, guys.
I picked Baylor to cover the 20 points, and guess what? They did.
They did.
I mean good Lord. haters. We don't care. I don't. Here's what I want. You want to know what my dream is about all these damn teams?
That they all make the playoffs so I can go
yes!
to places?
The college football playoff consists of four Texas teams by some fairy
I've
tale.
I always wanted to go
Texas,
to the Rose Bowl.
I don't care.
Texas, A&M, Rice.
Yeah. Right.
North Texas.
North Texas.
I don't care. That's what I want. No, I want it to be we are here for the state of Texas. State. If any of these freaking teams wants to stand up and be a national power, we would be thrilled.
Again,
but
I want
none of them
to
are
go
doing
to the
it.
Rose Bowl.
That'd be fun.
I want to. Help me out, guys.
This is you guys are better than this, and you're being the whiny babies that I have come to hate the most about the internet. I just I don't know what to do with you. And then on top of it, Wolf is just sitting here talking about the Astros the whole time in the comments. The freaking phone lines don't work.
It's been a great show. 642 is going to go in the record books.
I'm just I have nothing else to say. Tepper, take us out.
That's going to do it for us. Thanks for spending part of your day with us. Follow us on Twitter at DCTF. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/DaveCampbell's. Follow us on Instagram, instagram.com/DaveCampbell's. And, of course, see us at texasfootball.com for Shehan J. Araja, Ishmael Johnson, Max Thompson. I'm Greg Tepper. Vince Young, please give me your Player of the Year trophy. We'll see you tomorrow. Texas Football Today.